The Steve Gruber Show, American Values with Midwestern Common Sense.
Hey now, you're an all-star, get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star, get the show on, get
paid. It's almost Earth Day. So if you haven't picked out your porterhouse steak yet, you might want to get that on order. You know, because that's what I go for, a big old porter, because I want to end cow flatulence. So I figure if I eat a steak, you know, that's one less cow to be flatulating on the earth, and therefore I can save the planet from ultimate destruction. Dr. Matt Briggs, my next guest here, senior contributor to the stream. He's a writer, philosopher, itinerant scientist living on a small but densely populated island in the Atlantic Ocean, in part says his background is biography. If you haven't heard of the doctor, you will now. Dr. Briggs, welcome back.
Nice to be back. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure to have you here. So you say, don't say climate change. We were promised global warming. And in Michigan, trust me, it's a beautiful day again. We like global warming in Michigan because it makes it a nicer place every day.
It surely does, especially up north. I know I grew up in the north part of Michigan, and anything that warms it up a little bit, very welcome.
Yeah, well, where did you grow up?
Gaylord.
Yeah, see, I drive through there a lot. I'll drive through there sometime this week. We love Gaylord, and trust me, Gaylord loves it when it's 65 degrees in the middle of April. I can assure you of that.
It doesn't happen often enough.
Well, that's what I say. I say global warming making Michigan a better place year in and year out. Now, you're somebody who's been labeled a lunatic, a denier, out of touch, all sorts of things. Although, the thing I fail to tell these people is if they haven't heard of you before, you have degrees from Cornell, a variety of other places, master's degrees, doctorates, mathematics, all sorts of things to your name. You have more letters after your name than I can possibly keep up with. But you don't buy all of this global warming, we're all going to die soon, chicken little nonsense now, do you?
Well, I did at first, many, many years ago, 20 years ago plus, because I knew a lot of guys, a lot of smart guys who had these theories, and they were respectable people. And at the beginning of all this, at least it made some kind of sense to put some trust into them. But after 20, 30 years of failed predictions, it's time to let it go. The science is that, and I've said this so many times, it just never seems to catch on. And recently, Congress itself was treated to the same information I'm going to give your listeners, which I think I've given them before. If a scientific theory cannot match reality, if it cannot make predictions of reality, it is a failed theory. It should be abandoned, or perhaps fixed or tweaked. But whatever, you cannot rely on that theory to make decisions about the world. And that's the theory of global warming. It is a failed theory. It has been making predictions for, some 30 years now, of temperatures much in excess of what we actually see. And the discrepancy between what the model says, what the theory says we should see, and what reality actually is, grows wider and wider and wider with every year. It's becoming farcical. Most scientists agree with this, but you don't hear from most of them because the political blowback is so big from activists and politicians and the media and other people who have not a single clue about the actual science of climatology itself.
Plus, these scientists rely on the money. They rely on the money from government to do their studies. And if they say, well, I don't believe this is true, they see the money dry up, and then they have no laboratory to work in and no experiments to conduct because they didn't conform. Now, you know, growing up in Gaylord, I'm going to guess, have been to Lake Michigan, been to the Straits of Mackinac, yes?
Oh, many times.
So there's no doubt that global warming, exists. Because it gave us great things like the Great Lakes, the Mississippi River, the Mississippi Delta, ultimately Cajun food. Thank God for that. But this is global warming that happened over thousands of years. In fact, 11,700 years ago, roughly, Gaylord would have been under about a half to three quarters of a mile of ice. So it's a good thing global warming came along, and that was long before they could blame people like me and you for it happening.
Well, that's exactly right. And those changes were largely driven by the distance and the way the Earth is oriented to the sun. That changes all the time, and they have a sort of a cycle of about that period. And in fact, right now, we're in what we call an interglacial period, expecting on a, you know, the geologic time scales to slide back down into another ice age. And that's exactly what's going to happen. Ice kills, cold kills. Warm is good for the planet. When there's warm, when there's warmth on the planet, plant life, animal life, is fecund. It prospers. It thrives. It's good for everything. There's absolutely nothing. Even if the predictions were right about warmer temperatures, there'd be very little to worry about. But in fact, the predictions are wrong. They're not just wrong. They're abysmal. They're lousy. They stink. Any scientist,
don't hold back.
If he's being honest with you, will admit this.
Yeah, don't hold back. Tell us what you really think. Yeah, dinosaurs didn't die from being too warm. Now, did they? They died from being too cold, if you believe in the meteor strike theory of what created a mass die-off of dinosaurs. It was cold. And in fact, on this planet every year, many times the number of people die of hypothermia and cold-related death than do from heat, because there's two things that create life abundantly: heat and water. These two things create life, do they not?
If it's too hot out, you could sit in the shade and just relax and sweat a little. But if it's too cold, if you can't generate heat, if you can't find enough energy to make yourself warm, you will die.
What would happen to the world?
Same with a lot of other animals besides humans.
What would happen to the world if there was they talk about the sea rise. Well, sea rise has been going on periodically and cyclically for since the beginning of time as well. But what would happen if there was an extra 30 days in the growing season in the Midwest or in southern Canada, Alberta, Manitoba, Saskatchewan, where all that rich black dirt from the glaciers sits today? If they had an extra 30 or 45 days in their growing season, how many people could they possibly feed? There's a big upside to it.
Yeah, and in fact, we do see that with the warming that has been observed, and it has warmed a little bit, caused by all sorts of things, carbon dioxide has increased, the Earth has become greener. Crop production is up. It's partly up because of carbon dioxide and the warmth, but also because of innovations in the science of planting and fertilizers and pest control and all these sorts of things. In fact, crop production is doing brilliantly well all over the planet. People are being fed easier, cheaper than they have in all of history, and because of fossil fuels.
And so the predictions
they're a great lifesaver.
Absolutely, the first predictions of Earth Day 1970 by a host of folks of mass famine by the 1980s and the end of fossil fuels. Well, Dr. Briggs, they all failed to come true. I'll give you 20 seconds for the last word. Always a great conversation. Where do we go from here?
Where do we as a society go from here? I don't know. Call these people out. Every time they say something about it, ask them what they really know about the science of climatology. If they repeat the canard that 97%, 98%, that lie, that idiocy that they have, that they say all scientists agree, that's nonsense.
Dr.
It's
Matt Briggs.
True. It's just not the case. It's one of those things that the media picked up and they keep repeating. Like 5 out of every 4 women are sexually harassed at colleges or...